there's a train a come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
So we're going to read today the strong voice of God that speaks to our hearts. From the book of Romans. Now, you know, Romans is a testy book. It's filled with a lot of good theology. And this is the after Easter theology of Romans, found in chapter 6. Hear now the word of God. Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you penetrate the hearts of all here, that the imperfect words of this pastor be perfect in hearts because of you. That we may hear you speak to our heart, mind, and souls, because you do guide us. You do give us wisdom. You do give us knowledge. And when Scripture is proclaimed, you speak to us. May we hear you loud and clear today, that we may walk like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Consider the whole idea of Easter. You know, we just passed Easter last week. And we remembered that whole passion of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his few days with the disciples, talking with them, the Last Supper that he so intimately gathered with them and taught them and just prayed over them. And he was betrayed by Judas, and he was dragged away, and he was beaten and flogged, and he was crucified, and he died on the cross. And they buried him, and those that loved him were in torment and anguish. Yet 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. What does that all mean to us now, today? And I think about this in terms of light. That there is light given to a dark land. And you see, as Christ was nailed to the cross, as he rose from the dead, there was light that was shed to a dark land. And so, see, what Easter did was allowed us to connect to the light. Christ's death and resurrection has a meaning. It allows the connection. It allows us, this kind of dirty little plug here, if you could see it close up, you see it's kind of dirty. I don't know what that's been dragged through, but hey, that's me. Is that you? And so for 2,000 years, this event occurred where we can plug in to the light. It's awesome when you think about it. Now, if you don't understand Easter and you want to make up your own mind, you know, you have another plug here. And you want to plug into eternal God in some way or fashion, you see, you can't do it. It's not the right plug. It doesn't fit. It's not the right way to approach God. Does that make sense? No, this isn't it. And then some people don't even consider approaching God. And they don't care about Easter, and they kind of look at it as a foolish thing, and they're locked in their own darkness. They can't plug in. See, Easter gave us light. Easter gave the Jews light of those who participated. Easter gave the Gentiles light, who never had it before, have it now. There is a light that came on to the land. So after Easter, remembering what Jesus did in that whole episode of the cross and of the resurrection, it's the pinnacle of all celebrations. It should be for the Christian. Because without the resurrection, there's no hope for new life. If Christ was simply crucified on a cross, for us then there is no hope without the resurrection. Romans 6:4 says that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in new life. After Easter is this walk of new life that we can connect to, the light of life. It's a new birth with growth in Christ. That we're brand new creations indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, when you think about all of this, this is fantastic. When you think about this, this is supernatural. It's not something that the mind of man and science and philosophy could even think of comprehending or understanding. It's nonsense to those who don't believe. But to we who believe, it is the grace of God poured out upon us. It's a fantastic life that's available to us now because of the cross, because of the resurrection. They're tied intimately together. The work of Christ in his death and resurrection, these two miraculous events can't be separated. It's God's plan of reconciling sinful people back to himself. We are sinful human beings. There is no denying that. Babies are not born as a blank slate. who happen to get the mud of the earth on them and become dirty. No, babies are born with a fallen human nature, and it does not take long to see that. And we know, and have said it again and again, any reasonable person can look at a young one growing up and know that they need to be taught to be good. It doesn't automatically come. You need to be taught to be good. And so what happens in Easter for this dilemma that human beings are in? Jesus took your sin and your penalty. You're the one that should have been nailed to the cross because of disobedience to God, of not living a perfect life. Now, if you were able to live a perfect life, you could certainly go to heaven. You could, that ladder that you build of good works and perfectness, obedience to Christ, would go right to heaven. But unfortunately, there's only one person who ever lived that fulfilled a perfect life. And who was that? Jesus. And so he became the perfect sacrifice then for our sins. He took that penalty of death upon himself that we deserve, and he rose from the dead as the firstborn of the dead, it says in Revelation 1:5, who releases you from your sins by his blood. And so in Romans 6:11, we consider ourselves then dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, this is the marvelous plan of God. This is the truth that sets you free. It's supernatural. It's fantastic. It's marvelous. If you have been raised up with Christ, it says in Colossians 3:1, we just looked at this in our Bible study this morning. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we who live this supernatural new life, now it's supernatural because our bodies don't change, do they? I mean, you know, the physicality of our bodies don't change when you accept Jesus. I mean, we're still the same. I'm still, you know, roughly 6'1". I should be 200 pounds, but I'm more like 230 pounds, but it doesn't change. What changes is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who indwells you. It's supernatural. We have a new life that is a new spiritual life. We are bond together, spirit and body together. That's what Easter does. It gives us the truth of life, the light of life that we're connected to. Supernatural. Supernatural. And so as you have connected with this light, the more you focus heavenward, we say this all the time, the greater your walk on earth is going to be. You're going to walk in the will of God when your eyes are focused on Him, when your heart, mind, and soul are focused on the light. The light of the Word of God that He gives you. And conversely, though, think about this. When we are approaching sin, and when we are approaching things that we know we shouldn't do, that the Spirit of God is speaking to us in our hearts and minds, but we do it anyway. Because we're giving attention to the things of the world. And as you do that, you're less useful to God. Does that make sense? We're the plug that kind of begins to turn away from the light that we have. Light doesn't go away. We have it. We choose to turn away from it. And we do those things that are evil. It says in Colossians 3:2 that we're to set our minds on the things above. That our focus of what we do has to be heavenward. And when it's heavenward, you're in the will of God. You do the will of God. When your attention seeks the majesty and power of Christ, God does the impossible in your life as you live and breathe to serve Him. Has anyone experienced that? I mean, I have. Do miracles occur? Yes, they occur all the time. I see it all the time in people who give their lives to Jesus Christ. Their lives change. That is a miracle. Have you seen miracles? Have you? Have you seen the impossible in your life and things that you simply cannot explain otherwise? I mean, it's the luxury you have as a pastor in having a flock that God appoints you to is you see so many of these things. I mean, and I say it all the time. I wish I could journal all of this because we have had in this congregation so many prayers answered and so many miracles given to us by God. It's unbelievable. Amen? Amen. And you who have experienced it, you know it. It's real. The Spirit of God working in your life becomes reality. It's real. It's not just words in a book. It's not just some esoteric, nebulous thing that you think of. Metaphysical. It's spiritual. But it makes you a whole human being, the spirit and the body combined. That's what the death of Christ on the cross and the resurrection do. We walk then with Christ, who's our guide. It's resurrection power, isn't it? Jesus met two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is an interesting story. They walked with him. They don't know who he is. They spoke with him. They listened to him exposit scripture. They saw him. And he says in Luke 24:27, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. Yet they weren't aware of who he was. This is Jesus' disciples. They weren't aware of who he was until he broke bread with them. There's a significance in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Because when the bread of life that Jesus, if you read John chapter 6, you see what the bread of life is all about. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. When the bread of life is given and the truth of who Jesus is really penetrates your heart, your eyes will be opened and you will see and you're going to hear and you're going to know who is speaking to you. You're going to know Christ in your life. And like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, your heart is going to burn with the gospel truth. And you too are going to say, the Lord has risen. They went and told the other disciples. When you accept Christ, when you accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for your sins, when you acknowledge his resurrection from the grave, when you acquiesce to him as your Lord and your Savior, by the grace of God through genuine faith, you are now justified before a holy God. Jesus' death on the cross is just if I were there, right? Because we nail our sins to the cross. Jesus took them. So you are now holy. You are now set apart for divine purpose. You're saved to a new life. And as Jesus was resurrected, you then are spiritually resurrected. That's what new life is all about, right? Once again, spirit and body together. You're spiritually changed to new life. You're resurrected yourself to new birth. You're a new creation in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, your earthly walk is now in Christ. When you walk now, you're in Christ. You're being changed daily in Christ-likeness. And that is the theological word called sanctification. And sanctification simply means that you're being made holier. That's what the word means. But see, Jesus' resurrection is more than that. It's more than just this new life. This changed earthly life that we have in this Spirit of God that dwells in our hearts and our human bodies, and as we change and as we walk with the unchangeable Word of God who changes our life daily, doesn't stop there. Praise God, right? Amen? It doesn't stop there. He's the firstborn of a glorified body. And you read the Gospels, and it's kind of crazy. I mean, you know, he all of a sudden appears in the midst of the disciples. It doesn't say he walked through a door. The door, in fact, was locked. That he appears on the beach. That he appears in a body that looks different and is different. And finally, 40 days later, what's he do? He ascends into heaven. I don't know what that's like, but in this glorified body, he can do that. Can you imagine? I always view that as like you get this glorified body, and I can like just go to Mars or some crazy thing, explore the universe. It would take forever. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, go see all these nebulas and stuff that, you know, go to Orion's belt and see what's going on there. I don't know if it's like that, but boy, that should be fun. Heaven's going to be much more, 1,000,000,000 times more glorious than we can ever imagine. And see, this eternal life with God in this glorified body is what the resurrection does for you. Holiness finally complete and realized. That's what it is. It's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, think of that. I mean, we sit here in, you know, these mundane pews and wooden pews and go about our business. It's fantastic. The great hope of the Christian is spending eternity in the presence of God with a new resurrected body. Jesus' resurrection certainly gives you a spirit-filled life. Yes, it does, in the here and now. But greater yet is the hope of the new resurrected body that you're going to receive in the there and then. When you're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall always be with the Lord, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, gives you another glimpse of the second coming of Christ. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. You're going to be part of a new heaven and a new earth with an eternal, resurrected, complete body to match your saved, sanctified, and glorified spirit. Complete child of God. Dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, Psalm 23 tells us. Beloved, don't forget it. See, that is the light that you need to carry to the dark world. It is fantastic. It's marvelous. It's glorious. Share it. When you think of all of this, and you think of the cross, and you think of the resurrection 2,000 years ago, how does that affect you today? We see. So in our hearts, we do say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, dear God, we thank you, Lord, that we have been set apart. We are new creations, that there's something special that you do for us that's just unbelievable. And only you can do it. And you do. And we thank you so much for that. You are the power. You are the life. You are the light, Lord. That those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, with genuine faith, who the Spirit has opened stone hearts and made them soft and pliable, willing to accept Jesus in your life. Confess your sins to Him. Acknowledge Him, accept Him, and acquiesce to His Lord. And you will be saved. You'll continue being saved. And one day you'll be saved a glorious life. Forever in heaven. Pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.